Atonement of Jesus Christ. The word atone means to reconcile or to restore to harmony. Through the atonement of Jesus Christ, we can be reconciled to our Heavenly Father. 2 Nephi chapter 25, verse 23. See also Romans chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. And Jacob chapter 4, verse 11. We can ultimately dwell in His presence forever, having been made perfect through Jesus. Doctrine and Covenants, section 76, verses 62 and 69. Jesus Christ was prepared from the foundation of the world to redeem His people. Ether, chapter 3, verse 14. In the premortal spirit world, Heavenly Father presented the eternal plan of salvation, which required an infinite and eternal atonement. The premortal Jesus, then known as Jehovah, humbly declared that He would do the will of the Father in fulfilling the plan. Moses chapter 4, verse 2. Thus He was foreordained to carry out the atonement, to come to the earth, suffer the penalty for our sins, die on the cross, and be resurrected. He became the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Moses chapter 7, verse 47. See also Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. The atonement is the supreme expression of our Heavenly Father's love for us. John chapter 3, verse 16. It is also the greatest expression of the Savior's love for the Father and for us. John chapter 15, verses 9 through 13. Doctrine and Covenants, section 34, verse 3. Doctrine and Covenants, section 138, verses 1 through 4. See also John chapter 3, verse 16, and John chapter 14, verses 28 through 31. Our need for the atonement. As descendants of Adam and Eve, all people inherit the effects of the fall. We all experience spiritual death, being separated from the presence of God, and we are all subject to temporal death, which is the death of the physical body. Alma chapter 42, verses 6 through 9. Doctrine and Covenants, section 29, verses 41 and 42. In our fallen state, we are subject to opposition and temptation. When we give in to temptation, we distance ourselves from God and come short of His glory. See Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Eternal justice demands that the effects of the fall remain and that we be punished for our own wrongdoings. Without the atonement, spiritual and temporal death would place an impassable barrier between us and God. Because we cannot save ourselves from the fall or from our own sins, we would be forever separated from our Heavenly Father, for no unclean thing can dwell in His presence. Moses chapter 6, verse 57. The only way for us to be saved is for someone else to rescue us. We need someone who can satisfy the demands of justice, standing in our place to assume the burden of the fall and to pay the price for our sins. Jesus Christ has always been the only one capable of making such a sacrifice. Jesus Christ, our only hope. From before the creation of the earth, the Savior has been our only hope for peace in this world and eternal life in the world to come. Doctrine and Covenants, section 59, verse 23. Only He had the power to lay down His life and take it up again. From His mortal mother, Mary, He inherited the ability to die. From His immortal Father, He inherited the power to overcome death. He declared, "As the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself." John chapter 5, verse 26. Only He could redeem us from our sins. God the Father gave Him this power. Helaman chapter 5, verse 11. The Savior was able to receive this power and carry out the atonement because he kept himself free from sin. He suffered temptations, but gave no heed unto them. Doctrine and Covenants, section 20, verse 22. Having lived a perfect, sinless life, he was free from the demands of justice, because he had the power of redemption, and because he had no debt to justice, he could pay the debt for those who repent. He can say, Father, behold the sufferings and death of him who did no sin, in whom thou wast well pleased. Behold the blood of thy Son which was shed, the blood of him whom thou gavest that thyself might be glorified. Wherefore, Father, spare these my brethren that believe on my name, that they may come unto me and have everlasting life. Doctrine and Covenants, section 45, verses 4 and 5. Truly, there shall be no other name given, nor any other way nor means, whereby salvation can come unto the children of men, only in and through the name of Christ, the Lord Omnipotent. Mosiah, chapter 3, verse 17. The Atoning Sacrifice. Jesus' atoning sacrifice took place in the Garden of Gethsemane and on the cross at Calvary. In Gethsemane, he submitted to the will of the Father and began to take upon himself the sins of all people. He has revealed some of what he experienced as he paid the price for our sins. I, God, have suffered these things for all, that they might not suffer if they would repent. But if they would not repent, they must suffer even as I, which suffering caused myself, even God, the greatest of all, to tremble because of pain, and to bleed at every pore, and to suffer both body and spirit, and would that I might not drink the bitter cup and shrink. Nevertheless, glory be to the Father, and I partook and finished my preparations unto the children of men. Luke chapter 22, verse 44. Mosiah chapter 3, verse 7. See also Doctrine and Covenants, section 19, verses 16 through 19. The Savior continued to suffer for our sins when he allowed himself to be crucified, lifted up upon the cross, and slain for the sins of the world. 1 Nephi, chapter 11, verse 33. On the cross, he allowed himself to die. His body was then laid in a tomb until he was resurrected and became the firstfruits of them that slept. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 20. Through his death and resurrection, he overcame physical death for us all. He later said, I came into the world to do the will of my Father, because my Father sent me. And my Father sent me that I might be lifted up upon the cross, and after that I had been lifted up upon the cross, that I might draw all men unto me, that as I have been lifted up by men, even so should men be lifted up by the Father to stand before me, to be judged of their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And for this cause have I been lifted up. Therefore, according to the power of the Father, I will draw all men unto me, that they may be judged according to their works. And it shall come to pass that whoso repenteth and is baptized in my name shall be filled. And if he endureth to the end, behold, him will I hold guiltless before my Father at that day when I shall stand to judge the world. 3 Nephi, chapter 27, verses 13 through 16. Universal redemption from the fall. Through the atonement, Jesus Christ redeems all people from the effects of the fall. All people who have ever lived on the earth and who ever will live on the earth will be resurrected and brought back into the presence of God to be judged. Helaman chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. See also 2 Nephi chapter 2, verses 5 through 10. Through the Savior's gift of mercy and redeeming grace, we will all receive the gift of immortality and live forever in glorified, resurrected bodies. Salvation from our sins. Although we are redeemed unconditionally from the universal effects of the fall, we are accountable for our own sins. But we can be forgiven and cleansed from the stain of sin if we apply the atoning blood of Christ. Mosiah chapter 4, verse 2. We must exercise faith in Jesus Christ, repent, be baptized for the remission of sins, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Alma counseled, "Ye must repent and be born again, for the Spirit saith, If ye are not born again, ye cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, come and be baptized unto repentance, that ye may be washed from your sins, that ye may have faith on the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world, who is mighty to save and to cleanse from all unrighteousness." Alma, chapter 7, verse 14. The gift of eternal life. The Savior has declared that eternal life is the greatest of all the gifts of God. Doctrine and Covenants, section 14, verse 7. To gain eternal life is to be made worthy to dwell in God's presence, inheriting a place in the highest degree of the celestial kingdom. This gift is available only through the atonement of Jesus Christ. Mormon said, "What is it that ye shall hope for? Behold, I say unto you that ye shall have hope through the atonement of Christ and the power of his resurrection to be raised unto life eternal. And this because of your faith in him, according to the promise." Moroni, chapter 7, verse 41. To receive this gift, we must meet certain conditions. We must exercise faith in Jesus Christ, repent of our sins, and endure faithfully to the end. We must receive the ordinances of salvation, baptism, the gift of the Holy Ghost, Melchizedek priesthood ordination for men, and the temple endowment and marriage sealing. By receiving these ordinances and keeping the associated covenants, we come unto Christ and ultimately receive the gift of eternal life. Third article of faith. In his infinite justice and mercy, the Lord also gives eternal life to all who have died without a knowledge of this gospel, who would have received it if they had been permitted to tarry, and to all children who die before they arrive at the years of accountability. Doctrine and Covenants, section 137, verses 7 and 10. The Savior invites us all to receive eternal life. He sendeth an invitation unto all men, for the arms of mercy are extended towards them, and he saith, "Repent, and I will receive you. Yea," he saith, "come unto me, and ye shall partake of the fruit of the tree of life. Yea, ye shall eat and drink of the bread and the waters of life freely." Alma, chapter 5, verses 33 and 34. Finding peace and healing through the atonement. The blessings of the Savior's atonement extend throughout eternity, but they also come in this life. As you come unto Christ, you will know the joy of being clean before the Lord. You will be able to echo the words of Alma, who, after much sin and rebellion, experienced the painful but healing process of repentance. After he had been forgiven, he testified, "I could remember my pains no more. I was harrowed up by the memory of my sins no more. And oh, what joy, and what marvelous light I did behold! Yea, my soul was filled with joy, as exceeding as was my pain. There could be nothing so exquisite and so bitter as were my pains. On the other hand, there can be nothing so exquisite and sweet as was my joy." Alma, chapter 36, verses 19 through 21. In addition to offering redemption from the pain of sin, the Savior offers peace in times of trial. As part of his atonement, Jesus took upon himself the pains, sicknesses, and infirmities of all people. Alma chapter 7, verses 11 and 12. He understands your suffering because he has experienced it. With this perfect understanding, he knows how to help you. He can cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Through your faith and righteousness, and through his atoning sacrifice, all the iniquities, injuries, and pains of this life can be fully compensated for and made right. Blessings denied in this life will be given in the eternities. And although he may not relieve all your suffering now, he will bless you with comfort and understanding and with strength to bear up your burdens with ease. Mosiah chapter 24, verse 15. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, the Savior said, and I will give you rest. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. On another occasion, he again promised his peace, saying, In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. John chapter 16, verse 33. These are the promises of the atonement in this life and throughout eternity. Additional references, Isaiah chapter 49, verses 13 through 16, chapter 53, Matthew chapters 26 through 28, Mark chapters 14 through 16, Luke chapters 22 through 24, John chapter 10, verses 14 and 15, chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, chapter 14, verse 6, chapter 15, verse 13, and John chapters 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 through 22, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, 1 Nephi chapter 10, verse 6, 2 Nephi chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, 2 Nephi chapter 9, 2 Nephi chapter 25, verses 23 through 26, Jacob chapter 4, verse 12, Mosiah chapter 3, verses 1 through 19, Alma chapter 22, verse 14, Alma chapter 34, verses 5 through 18, and Alma chapter 42, Helaman chapter 5, verses 9 through 12, Helaman chapter 14, verses 13 through 19, 3rd Nephi chapter 9, verses 14 through 22, 3rd Nephi chapter 27, verses 13 through 22, Mormon chapter 9, verses 10 through 14, Ether chapter 12, verse 27, and Ether chapter 41, Moroni chapter 8, verses 5 through 26, Moroni chapter 10, verses 32 through 33, Doctrine and Covenants section 18, verses 10 through 12, Section 19, verses 15 through 24, Section 20, verses 17 through 34, Section 45, verses 3 through 5, Section 76, verses 40 through 43, and Moses, chapter 1, verse 39. See also baptism, death, physical, death, spiritual, eternal life, faith, fall, forgiveness, God the Father, gospel, justice, kingdoms of glory, mercy, ordinances, plan of salvation, repentance, resurrection, salvation.